Chapter 41 continues to show us the wise ways of God and his ability to write straight with crooked lines. It's the story of Pharaoh's dreams, Joseph's interpretation of them, and his subsequent rise to the highest position of power in Egypt. This is probably a familiar story, but let's review it quickly. Genesis 41, the first 8 verses. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. This prologue sets up Pharaoh's problem. His mysterious dreams trouble him greatly because he knows they are very significant, but all the knowledge of his empire fails him in understanding what they mean. There was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Brueggemann suggests that the main issue here is a remarkable inversion of power. The power of this world is revealed to be helpless in the face of God's power. Pharaoh, though considered divine by Egyptians, must now realize that God alone is divine. It's a common scenario in Scripture. Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's inability to understand his dream, and Daniel's interpretation of it by God's power. Daniel chapter 5, God's handwriting on the wall at Belshazzar's feast, and again Daniel's interpretation. The plagues in Exodus 7 and 8, frustrating the mighty Pharaoh. The drought in the time of Elijah, and King Ahab's inability to do anything about it, because the situation was controlled by God through Elijah. Herod, at the birth of Jesus, a powerful king thwarted by God's power. And Pilate at the crucifixion, powerless to do what he wanted as God worked out his plan. 1 Corinthians 1:25 tells us that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And in Luke 10:21, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Robert F. Capon calls this God's left-handed approach to a right-handed world. This left-handed approach or inversion of power is clearly seen in Pharaoh's story. Joseph interprets both of Pharaoh's dreams by God's power. And the grateful ruler promptly pulls Joseph out of prison and promotes him to prime minister over all the land of Egypt. Now, let's read the main verses from the epilogue, chapter 41, verses 47 to 57. Now in the 7 plentiful years the ground brought forth abundantly. So he, that is Joseph, gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain, as the sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. Verse 53. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands. This epilogue shows Joseph in charge, offering Egypt and the world life and well-being in place of the death of famine. A striking picture of Jesus, the wisdom of God. Between the futility of Egypt and the well-being brought by Joseph, there is the main action in the middle section, Joseph. Joseph, speaking to Pharaoh in strongly theocentric language, affirms that God, not royal power or planning, will bring about the new future. Let's go back to verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Verse 28, Joseph says, "God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do." Verse 32, Joseph tells Pharaoh, "The dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." And then in verse 33, he shows his readiness for concrete action. "Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt." Understanding and believing in God's plan does not mean there is no place for human planning. God's purpose becomes the basis for such planning, which must be faithful and responsive to the divine plan. The Joseph narrative is one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament, but it's not just about Joseph. Bill Arnold reminds us, "But above all, it is a story about God, the great mover and shaper of history, and about His pleasure in using a single servant who is willing to submit his life to God's control." 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us that God is still looking for people like that so He can show Himself strong on their behalf. Let us be among them.